Number one, step forward.
ESPN 97.5. Yeah, come on. This is a RentersWarehouse.com roadshow, live from Prime Social Club. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5. Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Raheel Ramsnali filling in for Barry Laminack. Joel Blank is here.
I am.
Prime Social.
Great place, man.
I'm telling you. This is like... SportsMap 94.1 joining us along for the fray, as we like to say. If you miss any of the first 2 hours, as your usual suspects have been tuned in since 1 o'clock, podcastarena.com, ESPN975.com, click on the show app, catch what you missed. Also, we suggest all the time, download the app. You can take us anywhere, everywhere. All the time. We're at Prime Social, 7801 Westheimer. This place is just top-notch. We're going to be here till 4. Blitz will be here till 7. Our guys are out there playing in this afternoon poker tournament. If you knock them out, there's a bounty. You can make some cash. AJ's out there. Lance is out there. John is out there. So if you're on your way home from work or you're playing hooky from work and you want something to do because the weather looks a little bit bad, stop on out to Prime Social. Fantastic spot, great environment, and lots of poker being played. Right now you can win some cash.
Man, so many tables.
They had to open up the side room. Did you see that with more tables? Because there were so many people pouring in here, so that's great. So we're going to be here. There's a lot of people here. If you want a good game and get in on it with some poker, get here because they're going to be going for quite a while. So before the break, we're talking Texans. We got a little of that out of the way. I think the spread is definitely too high. I think 6 is, you know, and now that we have to make picks every week, and I don't know, are you doing the whole where you pick every game, too, for the station?
Yes, the straight-up pick-up.
Yeah, yeah, pick when up. I look at the group, Barry was saying he's one of the top four, but I only see those four people in the group. I don't see any of us. Oh. But I know that we're also doing AJ's picks, so I'm constantly looking at spreads a lot more now and obviously trying to figure out which games I'm going to pick. Nick, you are too, and you've been stellar. Do you agree with me? I just think 6 is way too much to be the Texans given the Giants, given how bad both teams have been. Nick,
rest in peace, Nick.
R.I.P. Nick. He's still trying to find his towels, and he's basically torching your desk right now.
Us. I don't know. We never have technical difficulties here at Galmedia, so.
No. I mean, but don't you think – I just think 6
no,
is
it's
too
a,
much.
No, it's a big number, man. 6, the only thing I can anticipate is they come out rolling, so you play the first half. Have you gotten into first half spreads? Because that's where –
Dude, that's
I
when
love
you
that.
Become a I know you this year have really gotten into that stuff, and I haven't.
Oh, man, I love – I've always – that's always been my thing, first half and second half spreads.
Really?
Especially second half is fun because if you're watching the game and you notice little things, you go, man, this – like they should have been up 14 here, but they're only up 3 right now. And then you play that second half number, it's so much fun. It's way more fun to me than full game. But first half is good because you can anticipate a team like the Giants that started slow against the Cowboys and then they were okay. But you play that first half, you go – and it's the emotion of home field – for the Texans, their first game, and they're back finally, and all that, and it's a must-win. You play first half, and that number, I'll get it here in a second on mybookie.ag. I'll check, but it should be out. But that's something I would rather play. It's probably 3.5. Let me look at it. Let me confirm with you. But that it's more. You got to predict the whole game, but that makes more sense than the full game 6 because I think both teams. They're pretty close to each other in terms of how bad they are. So, yeah, I don't get it.
And, I mean, look, when you look, we're in AJ's pool, we're not allowed to pick the first half of games.
I know. I asked him. I said, hey.
Yeah, so I'm not involved in all that. But otherwise, yeah, I would be there with you because it just, to me, I don't know, man. It seems like that number's too high. But I was looking at two ESPN was ranking the 0-2 teams. And obviously the Steelers, they have even starting 0-2 as a 78% chance of in the preseason. But their current playoff odds are just 37% for the season.
And
there's a team that you like the Bills, no. Cardinals, no. Giants, no. Lions, probably not. Raiders were kind of a sexy pick after a couple years ago. Seahawks are on the way down. So if you look at what ESPN says about the Texans, 24% chance now. Preseason playoff odds were 45%. Now they're giving them a 24% chance of getting into the playoffs.
Yeah. I mean, you already lost one division game, and you've got somebody that's 2-0 in your division. And in the within those two games, they slapped the team that beat you in the Jags and the Patriots there. So it's against them. And look, with the Steelers, I know the Bengals always do this. They start out hot, and then all of a sudden they come back to earth, and they don't make the playoffs and all that stuff. But this Steelers team, man, that locker room is done.
So here's what ESPN said about your Texans. I think the Texans are still quite comfortable quite comfortably the best positioned team to make a run towards the top of the AFC South. Their two losses came by a total of 10 points. One of them was on the road against a good team in the Patriots. Their loss to the Titans was far more vexing, given it came against Blaine Gabbert and all the injuries we mentioned. But there's still people that seem to really buy into the Texans. I'm surprised by that. So with that, we've got a couple calls we still got to roll through. Mike wanted to continue the Texans dialogue, but Mike, hang on. Clarence has been around on the phones first, so we're going to get to Clarence right now. Clarence, what's up, man?
What up, guys?
What's up?
All right. First off, I want the question that you posed, Raheel, in the previous segment about any regrets about paying J.J. Watt that money. If these past couple of weeks have shown us anything about not paying premier defensive pass rushers, mm-hmm. there should be no regret about any of that at all. You got to pay the guy. I mean, and like Joe said, you can't predict injuries. And J.J. has been banged up and beat up the past couple of years. But just imagine when he wasn't injured. If he wasn't injured these past couple of years, before he got injured and how much he was wrecking offensive lines and quarterbacks. And two, go ahead.
Khalil Mack had one of the best week ones, right?
Yeah.
It was incredible watching him just tear it up. Incredible. They lost that game.
Well, they lost to a better team.
No, they lost that game because what is his one job? Khalil Mack's one job is what? To make it difficult on who?
I mean, the quarterback in the offense.
And that quarterback, although one of the greatest of all times, he still got his way with that defense led by Khalil Mack. And that's not taking anything away from Khalil Mack. It's just defensive ends.
Well, but we talked about Romeo Crennel, too. It's about the coordinator as well, making adjustments. Because what did Green Bay do? They knew that the Chicago was in the backfield on every single play, so they went no huddle. They went pistol. They went shotgun. They went every way possible to make the Bears have to adjust, and the Bears didn't adjust.
You can counter. My thing is with defensive ends, I know you have to pay them because we're used to it. You got to pay these guys big money because without them, you can't get the pass rush and then the secondary and blah, blah, blah. All that good stuff. I get it. I absolutely agree with you guys. But when you look a little bit deeper, even in J.J. Watt's Defensive Player of the Year, how many games did the Texans win? They didn't make the playoffs. They didn't break 500. They weren't good. So a defensive end, a top-tier guy, a $100 million player, all that good stuff, is absolutely a must guy on a team that has other pieces. He can't just be a single guy. You can't build a team around him. You have to have other studs with him. And that's where, again, that's where teams value. Like, hey, what do you do? What do you do? Do you pay him and that's it? And then you figure it out? It's a tough situation. And I get it. You got to pay him, though. Because if you don't, then they will leave.
Someone else will, right?
Yeah, I absolutely understand that. But there's also is it worth giving a guy that is shaky in J.D. Clowney that much money?
I think there's no way they should. Not even come close. As a matter of fact, I would entertain trades for him now, and if you can't find a deal that you feel good at, I'm fine with you getting absolutely nothing if he walks based on what I've seen in terms of performance and output. You can't be – at a certain point, you have to cut ties with potential, right? It's like the Josh Gordon situation, but in a different form, right? If you go out and spend a high draft pick on a guy and you have all these expectations, you want return on your investment, and it continues to keep biting you in the butt, at a certain point, you've been stitched up enough, and you're like, okay, I'm going to cut my losses, and I got to be better off just for being rid of the problem as opposed to trying to wait for the results. So – all right, we'll continue to roll. If you guys want to join us like Clarence just did, 713-780-3776, you can call, you can text on the HRNP listener line, or you can tweet us as we'll follow our Twitter accounts and also get to you that way as well. Check the text messages. Oh, you Mike, you can keep trying. The band is killing you. But really not a whole lot there today. But if you do want to get something out on the show, I'm checking the text messages as well. It's the usual suspects. It's SportsMap 94.1 and ESPN 97.5.
This is a RentersWarehouse.com roadshow, live from Prime Social Club. This is the usual suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Right, and I would never get implants at all. It's like, I can't wait y'all think about me. And I like how we make fun of them together. Because I could hide it. Like, if I just had huge boobs one day, no one would be like, oh my god, I had no idea you had such huge boobs. Huh. It'd be like, oh my god, I had no idea you had such huge daddy issues.
Hey, if you missed any of the FEF Friday along the way today, Kiki Maroon is our comedian of the week. Barry picked her out before he skipped to San Antonio to do a little comedy himself. But if you want to follow her, she's a great follow, at Kiki Maroon, K-I-K-I-M-A-R-O-O-N. Same on Instagram. She is going to be at Warehouse Live October the 13th. She does a little burlesque, a little comedy. She is the driving force behind her own burlesque comedy show. So check her out October 13th at Warehouse Live. And just go to either Instagram or Twitter and follow Kiki Maroon or KikiMaroon.com. There you have it. So we were talking a lot of football today. We talked about a lot of other stuff. Astros with their final home series of the regular season starting tonight with Gerrit Cole on the hill against the Angels. They have a four-game lead in the loss column, 9 games yet to play to wrap up the regular season. Looks like they will win the division, which means they will play the Indians, and that's going to be a hell of a series.
Yeah.
More surprising to me than anything else, there's one more ring night.
Is there really?
Yeah.
I thought we were done with
Sunday, they're giving away the replica rings one more time. At this point, everyone in the city should have one of those things.
Yeah, there should be a night where everyone shows up that doesn't have one, and we celebrate that.
I don't have one, but I'm amazed. Like, you know what? What do they call it? Milk and blood out of a turnip?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they have gone to that well so many times, it should be completely bone dry and dusty. But my goodness, I'm hearing they're sold out Sunday again.
Well, yeah. I mean, look how many millions of fans there are, right? There's only I get it. It's like every single – it seems like every single homestand you get a chance to get it. But there are so many people that who want it that might not get it. And it's a cool thing. And that's why winning the World Series or winning a championship in your sport is so important, because how much money are they making off of that ring night?
I mean, it allows you the opportunity to cash in from
yeah.
the gold jerseys, the opening week of the season, to, you know, how many of these ring nights and the bobbleheads and the things commemorating the championship. Yeah. I get it. And they earned it. But, man, it's overkill in my mind how many ring nights they've had this season.
No, I agree with you. It's like a lot. But if there keeps – hey, look, you keep selling out those nights, then that means people still want them. And that's cool. If fans want it, cool. Why don't they just sell them in the team store?
Because I'll tell you what. Remember how every team used to just – you know, and you knew this from the NBA days too. Bobbleheads were the thing.
Mm-hmm.
And bobbleheads are still the thing. But now – instead of just the giveaways and the first 5,000 or however many people through the door, now with bobbleheads, they're selling them for $100 a pop on a limited basis.
Mm.
And people are lined up camping out overnight to get them at the Astros team shop. I didn't realize bobbleheads have become like baseball cards and basketball cards and all these other things. But, I mean, bobbleheads are a big deal, not
yeah.
just with station personnel, Nick.
I didn't know they were that hot still. I just had bobbleheads that, like, all right. What was your first bobblehead? Do you remember?
I will say this. And at the time, I don't think, and obviously my parents didn't know this, but my dad had a 1950-something Milwaukee Braves bobblehead of the mascot Brave, and it was porcelain or it was ceramic. At the time, you know, there wasn't all these plastic bobbleheads like they had today. And so he gave it to me when I was a kid, and I always had it in my room. And obviously I didn't understand the history or whatever. And one day, my mom hit it. It fell off, like, the shelf. And my mom hit it with the vacuum cleaner and shattered it. And she could not understand why my dad was so upset about it. But can you imagine if I still had that thing today?
Dang, that would be worth a lot.
Yeah.
That would be crazy. I have a Hakeem Olajuwon bobblehead from 2000. 2001?
That was the one with the rocket ship pinstripe uniform on?
I believe so. I'll send you a picture of it. I have two of them. One is still in the box wrapped up.
Because I got a couple of those still in the box.
Yeah. I'm waiting on the right time to sell
taking
those.
Taking all offers, people. I've got a few of them unopened.
Whatever Joel is selling it for, I'm selling it a dollar cheaper. So okay. I also have undercut you.
I'd be curious to see.
Yeah. I got four personality types. Somebody put this on the rundown. This is pretty cool. Scientists have pinpointed four personality types, and let's see where we are within this.
Okay.
So the first one is average. And the next one is reserved. Third one is role model. Fourth one is self-centered.
Okay.
I guess they really, like, boiled it down to four because it's very open, the first two. Average and reserved sound like the same thing.
Okay.
Which one? It wouldn't be fair to put us in it. Like, I can't put myself in one of these categories, so we'll go around the table. I'll do Nick. Nick, you do Joel. Joel, you do me.
Okay.
All right, Nick, you start it.
Give him the choices again.
Average, reserved, role model, or self-centered?
Average, reserved, role model. I would say role model.
Thank Joel you, is a role model.
Thank you. I appreciate
Good.
That.
Yeah.
I mean, he's
Look
kind of a mentor to Kelly Eco, who's kind of followed his footsteps in a sense, in a way.
He's doing I'm very proud of him this week. I need him to be a little quick on the draw, but I am very proud of that article that he put out. He's going to be something, I'm telling you, people. It's going to be the next Woj.
Good. And that is up right now on his Twitter, Kelly Eco NBA.
Right.
All right, your turn. You do me.
So what are my choices again?
Thief. Average, reserved, role model, self-centered. Thief is not one of them. Misunderstood thief.
I don't know. It's pretty clear what we understood the situation to be. So give me them again.
Average, reserved, self-centered, or role model?
I'm going to go slightly self-centered.
Okay. I'll take it.
Okay.
I'll take it.
Because you're a self-promoter. Not that there's anything wrong with that, but some people misconstrue that.
Absolutely. That's fine. Right. That's a good one. I'll take that one. Okay. All right. Nick, you are
forgiving.
Nick, there's not one of these four doesn't capture how great of a person you are, Nick.
Of course.
Okay, so you're not. I can't put you into one of these categories, but if I did, you're average.
Okay.
Jeez, that was a nice setup to let down.
Something told me he was going to twist it up at the end there too. He was going to throw a curveball eventually. I wasn't sure how.
Say, for real though, I don't think you're reserved. Are you? I know. I guess role model is the best one, right? You want to be the role model?
I don't know. I think Nick gets misconstrued because he's quiet.
I'm not reserved
as people think I am.
He's not reserved.
No, he's not.
People just assume his quiet persona is that of someone that's introverted.
I would say, Nick, you're in between reserved and role model. You're in that sweet spot, as I like to call it, perfect.
That's fair.
Yeah,
I'll take that.
Kiss ass. Nick, you should have freaking pucker marks on your cheeks the way he's kissing your butt now.
Yeah, unbelievable, Jeez. Huh?
Yeah, I wonder where that came from.
Oh, look, one of the qualities of being between reserved and role model, forgiveness.
You better hope.
For those of you that are just joining us, I stole something from Nick.
By the way, you got killed on text message about that.
Oh, absolutely.
And I just deleted it.
Oh, no, and rightfully so. Rightfully so. I should have been killed on it. You go to Podcast Arena and listen to it. Yeah, I don't want to spend more time on it.
We got a text message that said Astros don't have the major league rights to sell replica rings in the store. I'm not insinuating in any way, shape, or form they should sell those things because.
I did. I said they should. Yeah, I said they should. I said, why not just sell them in the store?
I mean, look.
How do you have the right to give it away?
Here's my thing. When the Rockets won the second title, they did a ring night. That was it. One. And again, from the supply and demand standpoint, you know what? There was a ton of people that wanted that ring. They knew which night it was going to be. They went after it. They got it. If they were lucky to get it, hey, it's a big deal. But it takes the luster and the shine off of what I think the initial purpose of making these replica rings were when you do it so much and it seems like you're just trying to make sure that you sell out those games that –
I get what you're saying, but it's also that championship, man, that World Series. You know it better than anybody. This was like – it was like the city won it because of the circumstances. So any opportunity that they can offer to the fans, I feel like it's okay, but
Nick,
but this is it. This season only.
Good
guys.
With it or not?
I'm good with it. I'm okay with it. It doesn't bother me that much.
That they've had that many?
Yeah, it doesn't bother me.
How do they not have the right to sell it? But you have the right to give it away.
Yeah, I don't know how that all works, and normally I would, but that doesn't make sense to me.
You do it in the team store, and you have to buy a ticket to get into the team store. Like, you would put that stipulation. So then you're getting people buying the ticket and buying the ring.
So buy it on an off day when there's not a game. Leave the, team store still open, right?
No, that's what I'm saying. But it would have to be on a game day and in the team store that's inside the arena or inside the stadium.
All right. Yeah. We're going to continue to roll on. We're on SportsMap 94.1 and ESPN 97.5. It's the usual suspects. Coming up, our last giveaway of the show. You could win a $50 gift card to St. Bernard's. You would want to do that because that is a good deal and a good spot to hang out at. Don't go anywhere. 30 minutes on the clock, and we'll be back with more. It's the usual suspects.
This is a RentersWarehouse.com roadshow, live from Prime Social Club. This is the usual suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Back for the final half hour of the show. It's the usual suspects coming to you live from Prime Social, 7801 Westheimer. A great, great spot if you want to play some poker, have some fun. Bounties on our guys that are out here playing today. John, Lance, there was one on AJ, and shockingly, he is now up here with us waiting to start the blitz. Normally he goes at least 90 minutes into his show before he considers stepping out, but he has been eliminated. But John and Lance still playing. Great if you're playing hooky from work or just want something to do on your way home and beat traffic. Stop by Prime Social, 7801 Westheimer, fantastic food, great environment. This is the cleanest, classiest poker spot you're going to find. Very, very good stuff. Raheel is in for Barry, who is off doing comedy in San Antonio. We already had our comedian of the week, Kiki Maroon, which we got three clips for you of. And if you missed any of it, get back to Podcast Arena or check the podcast, see what you missed. I don't know if you guys saw this or not, but Rangers now supposedly are going to fire Jeff Bannister 4 years in. At the end of the season, the run is done.
Man, good for them, finally.
Former Coug coach.
It's been rough being a Rangers fan, and finally they're going to move on.
That's what happens when you get there and you don't finish the deal.
Yeah, it's about time they move on too, right? This last season, was they knew they were going to be bad, so it's almost like
they're horrible. He'll get paid for one more year. His contract takes him through next season. So he won't be hurting in any way, shape, or form. But he's out. Interesting to see who they'll bring in. As they know that the division is loaded and they have been the worst spot in the division. Mm-hmm. When you talk about how the A's have been impressive and really came on in the second half, I think the Cano situation really screwed with the Mariners, but they've been definitely above average and just recently were eliminated, and of course the Astros. So Bannister out, and the Rangers will be looking for a manager at the end of the season.
Did
so
they we'll announce? Sorry to cut you off there. Did they announce their AAA affiliate yet, the Rangers?
Last night? No, I don't know where the Rangers are going. We know where the Astros are going.
Yeah, because Astros took Round Rock. They took them back.
Yep.
So we got baseball back here.
All in the family.
All in the family now. And the Rangers, I believe they're definitely outside of
Texas. Fresno's
now.
Open.
Yeah.
If they want to go there.
I mean, you might as well, right? Because you know
at least you know there's a spot there. But obviously, more and more major league teams want their minor league teams to be close to the home base in case. That's why I'm surprised. The Skeeters, by the way, playing tonight, tied at one in their playoff series. Coming back home for the remainder of the games here. It's a blackout night where you wear black. But I'll tell you this: I'm surprised the Skeeters. They're an unaffiliated A-ball team. Mm-hmm. That's the perfect A-ball situation for the Astros, simply because of the fact that when you draft a kid, the kid beer they drafted out of Clemson, I mean, how great would it be if you could go to a Sugar Land Skeeters game and see that kid, you know, playing right there in front? And I remember when Springer was in Oklahoma City. Everybody online was watching those games more than they were watching Astros games at the time because the Astros were terrible, and they wanted to see the prospects coming up. I like the fact that teams are making a conscious effort to make all their affiliates closer to home, which is very, very cool.
Which is cool. And by the way, the Rangers, they are now affiliated with the Nashville Sounds.
Okay. Which used to be a Yankees farm team.
Okay.
So
Cool.
Yeah. Well, there you go. Rangers, Jeff Banister out.
Or according to reports.
Nashville? Brewers after the Yankees? Okay, yeah, so it was Yankees first, then Brewers. Yeah, because the Brewers also were in New Orleans with the Zephyrs for a while, and more teams are getting, like I said, trying to get all their home bases set up so that when they need to call a guy up, it's close.
Yeah. Okay, what are you more excited about, the Astros-Angels series, which, meh,
no.
Like really nothing there?
It's pretty much over.
Texans-Giants.
I mean, I'm curious because it's interesting for all the people that had them going to the Super Bowl and everybody that had high hopes for the Texans. This is a must-win, obviously. If they don't, they're done. It's going to make our jobs interesting because you're going to have, you know, a lot of venom being flown around. Everybody wants O'Brien's butt on a platter already. But you can't just sleep on the Giants when you've got a veteran at quarterback and you've got the skill position players that they have, though their line looked less than stellar a week ago. So I would definitely say I'm more interested in what happens with Texans-Giants.
If I had Bill O'Brien's contract, by the way, I would be listening to sports radio every single time, and I would call into every single show when somebody goes, we got to fire Bill O'Brien. I'd be like, bitch, look at my contract. I'm not going anywhere. What? And I will call into every single show and rub it in your faces. At least for the next 2 years, you're not going anywhere. And I would be the biggest D-bag ever. You want to fire me? Word? Oh, go ahead. Go ahead. I dare you.
Well,
what?
I mean,
call for my job again. I'm not going anywhere.
Kevin McHale.
Good for you. Greatest finesse, man.
That was, I thought, the greatest parachute that anybody could have gotten, you know, for a while. 2.5 years at $6 million a year. Sure, I'll walk. I'm good.
Yeah.
I mean, but at the same time, you're not going to take a guy that just signed his new extension and give him 4 free years to walk away. I just don't see it happening. I mean, obviously, the you know, and I did a thing on SportsMap for it, too, if you want to check it out. But the other thing, too, and it's stuff we've all kicked around as well. But the fact of the matter is if you know, normally you multitask and have more than one job title when you're good at your first job. But if you're not good at your first job, you're not good at calling timeouts, throwing the red flag, time management, late in games, well, then give up the coordinator job and find a guy that can maximize Deshaun Watson in the offense and do the things that the offense needs to do, and you spend your time doing what you're supposed to do as a head coach, making key decisions at the right time.
Yeah, it's still baffling that they gave him that extension and all that stuff, and it just shows, like, right now, 2 games in, no momentum. It's just blah again. The offense looks boring again. It's the same offense that Savage was running, same offense that Brock was running. It's not that imaginative, creative offense that you saw for those 6 games where Deshaun was just lighting it up. And it was so much fun. 40 points a game, this and that, everything. It was fun to watch. You go, that's what's going to happen? It hasn't. It hasn't. It's reverted back to the good old days of Fitzmagic. Well, actually, Fitzpatrick, because Fitzmagic is a different thing now. He's actually playing good football. So,
right now he is, yeah, but we know he's a guy that returns to the means too. So after a certain amount of time, he comes back and ends up, you know, screwing up at some point too. So that'll be interesting. Tampa plays Philly this weekend. But when you look at everything, I still find it kind of funny that last night the Baker Mayfield story was twisted back into the Texans to say, hey, Hugh Jackson, if this guy was showing out like this from day one of training camp, why wasn't he your starter from day one? And them saying the other incident that brings it very close to home was the same thing with Deshaun Watson over Tom Savage.
Yeah. And Tampa has Monday night against Pittsburgh. They played the Eagles
last
week.
Oh, that's right,
last
week.
Yeah, they played last week. So you got that Monday night game. There's going to be a lot of points in that game, I have a feeling.
Boy, Steelers can't stop
Tampa anybody.
Woo. Tampa's been putting up a lot of points.
It'll be fun. That's going to be a good Monday night game.
Yeah.
It's going to be a long Monday night game, too.
It's going to show you how capable, how very veteran-laden that locker room is in Pittsburgh. Yeah. Because, boy, with everything they got going on, if they find a way to win that game on the road, then you know that they can be heard from and they can still make the playoffs. But that is a locker room in disarray right now.
Yeah, so. And the final thing on O'Brien, again, the extension, he is the best presenter ever. He probably put on a hell of a presentation for Bob McNair to not only get an extra 4 years tacked onto his deal, but he said, and I also want to bring my friend in here. Get my friend a job.
Well,
also,
yeah, he got to pick the GM as well,
awesome.
Which is crazy.
Just a great – he just went in there and killed it with a PowerPoint. He just dominated with a badass slideshow and sold them on
but
that.
I've always said that Rick had a seat at the dinner table for Thanksgiving and Christmas with the McNairs. That's how tight he was with him. So, that whole decision-making process and how it all went down would have been interesting to be a fly on the wall for because it's crazy that he sided with O'Brien.
And, yeah, he got a family member kicked out. He got the dude who got him the job fired and got more years. Damn,
it's
I love that.
It's just amazing to me, man.
Good
it
for
really
you.
Is. It's just remarkable that it's gotten to that point. So, and the other thing that was crazy was, did you see the video that everybody was clamoring for when they finally unlocked the victory fridges in
I
Cleveland?
Did. Oh, my God. The line for
Nut
it?
Nut house.
Yeah. There's one lady. The one I saw was this one lady just hope, like, everyone slow down. Please take one at a time. Everyone will get a beer, hopefully. She could have died.
Yeah, they put the Bud Light beer girls at each, and for some reason thought that was going to be the secure way to pass out the beers, and it was just bedlam. It was absolutely crazy. All right, well, we got one segment to go in the big show. We're going to wrap it all up here from Prime Social, but we're not done because Fred and AJ are in the house. The Blitz is going to take you home on a Friday, all the way till 7 o'clock, and you don't have to do a darn thing because it's going to continue to be simulcast. It is Sports Map 94.1 and ESPN 97.5.
Drops the verse. Sure to get down, good Lord. Baby got them open all over town.
This is a RentersWarehouse.com roadshow. Live from Prime Social Club. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, you know how we like to do it, final segment of the show, and we like to give back to you, the listeners who listen to ESPN 97.5 throughout the day, especially you, the usual suspects. Therefore, we've got one more gift card to give away. It is to St. Bernard. You can win a $50 St. Bernard gift card right now. It's the premier destination for all ski, swim, and designer apparel. They have locations in Austin, Houston, Dallas. St. Bernard offering a carefully curated selection ranging from high-end fashion to everyday gifts and decor, whether you're getting ready to hit the slopes, planning a beach vacation, or in need of a wardrobe refresh, St. Bernard wants to be where you go before your vacation. Check out their Houston location, 4444 Westheimer, or log on to stbernard.com. But right now, that $50 gift card is yours if you are caller 17, 713-780-3776, 713-780-ESPN. Caller 17, you win the gift card. Good luck. Appreciate Raheel's filling in for Barry Laminack, doing some comedy in San Antonio this weekend as the headliner. Getting big things done in the comedy world is our man Barry. So with that, Raheel, appreciate you sliding in. You're doing a long day today with your normal stint in the mornings and then filling in with me. I do appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you for having me again, man. It flew by. That's always good. We're 3 for 3 on flying by shows.
Yeah, that's always a good sign. Big plans for the weekend?
Tomorrow, I just found out, I will be going to the Childish Gambino, a.k.a. Donald Glover, show at Toyota Center tomorrow.
Oh, cool.
The This Is America tour, so I just found out, so shout out to them. Thank you so much. I will be there, and I'm pumped for that.
When you just found out, are you covering the show?
No, I was waiting for tickets for it because I forgot to buy them, and it was a show. So I was waiting for something to come through, and it did. So I'll be at that show. I can't wait. He's one of my favorite artists, so I'll go there. Texas TCU tomorrow. Mm-hmm. Going to watch that bad boy. And then
Sunday.
Think
your horn's got a shot?
The weather's going to be sloppy. Favors them if they can make it into a grind-out game. And if Ingram is playing and he can get something going on the run side for them, I think they'll be okay. But TCU's a nasty defense, man. So,
yeah,
we'll find out.
Early
with
Ohio
State. Yeah, I'll give him a shot, but, man, we'll see how that weather plays out.
There was a special at Costco on the orange Kool-Aid, and you drank a bunch? Mm-hmm. Is that what you're telling me?
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. I'll keep drinking it.
I think the Eggs got a good shot to cover 27.
It's 27, man. You can't cover that, and you're the Aggies, and you were all hyped up on the
Clemson loss. That's a pretty damn talented Alabama team. I know there's discussions right now going on, is this the most talented Alabama team of all time? It doesn't matter, because right now they're the best team in the country, mm-hmm. and they got two quarterbacks that can play. One of them is going to win the Heisman, and on both sides of the ball they're loaded. So it'll be interesting to see if it was a one-week fluke with Jimbo and against Clemson, but if he can do it on the road and keep it within 27, more power to him.
Yeah, so that game, and then I'm covering the Texans game on Sunday, so I'll be in the house for that one, and we'll see what happens. That should be okay. I'm not that excited. I'm more excited for the Rams-Chargers game after that one.
Battle of L.A.?
Yeah, see my beloved NFC Rams.
Yeah, I saw that you adopted the Rams. I'm telling you right now, it's still crazy to me, and especially, again, this year with as bad as USC is with the freshman quarterback, that USC just completely outdraws the Rams, and the Rams are a Super Bowl team.
Mm-hmm. I think that
and the Chargers
change,
are still playing in a soccer stadium.
Yeah, that's the one. It's like a Dash game. It looks like a Dash game. And no offense to the Dash, but that's
no
pretty
NFL
good. Yeah.
team should be playing multiple years in a soccer stadium the size of BBVA Compass.
Yeah, it's crazy, but that's what it is, man. You got to do what you got to do, right? Like, there might not be any other options out there at the time, so you got to do what you got to do.
Speaking of tickets, you were waiting forward to concerts, too, as we wrap up. I don't know if you guys saw this or not, but this is how shady tickets can be and ticket sellers. You see this thing with Ticketmaster that's been coming out, the story that's coming out? CBS News went undercover along with the Toronto Star and found that Ticketmaster, when they say tickets are going on sale for, say, the U2 concert, and you got to be in line or you get online and you got to get them quick. And all of a sudden, before you know anything happens, within 3 minutes, they're all gone. It's a scam, brother. They're working secondhand deal on the secondhand ticket market with the brokers, and I'm sure they're getting a cut out of the deal to make sure that the tickets go to the secondhand market so that they go at the higher price points so that they can cash in. It's dirty.
That's the second biggest scam. The first biggest scam, all the fees. It is the worst. Ticketmaster, Live Nation, you name them, the fees are absolutely horrible.
I mean,
like 45% sometimes.
When Fred and AJ were talking about it, when AJ bought tickets to the last big fight in Vegas, just the service fees alone, it's absolutely ridiculous. Yeah. I mean, why wouldn't you want to be in the ticket business when you can cash in just for picking up the phone and placing an order for somebody?
It's such – oh, I don't get it, man. How somebody hasn't come in to disrupt that industry yet is mind-boggling to me.
They said, for an example, Ticketmaster would collect $25.75 on a $210 ticket on the original sale. Then they say the reseller sold the ticket on the secondary marketplace for $400. They would get an additional $76 on that ticket based on the deal they made with the secondary marketplace. So they've already made $100 extra than the ticket price just for working out a side deal. It's dirty pool, man.
It's a racket, man. It's a racket, and there's no other option. There's no other option. Like, what you want to get tickets? You have to use one of their sites. So,
the Rockets tried to, you know, when they got out of the Ticketmaster business and you know, they tried to. But again, Ticketmaster has all the locations at all the grocery stores, at all the kiosks, at all the different places, which makes it easier because they've got a corner on the market. So that's absolutely crazy.
What do the Rockets use on Toyota Center?
Flash seats.
Flash seats?
Yeah, they do flash seats and it's not Ticketmaster, but yeah, they had set up a different deal, and it's obviously not even close to maximizing the way that Ticketmaster does. So,
and I think all the sites have those ridiculous fees. That's the problem.
Oh yeah,
yeah. Like even absolutely. Toyota Center, I'm sure has.
It's just like
fees.
When the new stadiums kept coming on board, and the Texans were one of the earlier ones, but now everybody does it with ticket licenses and everything like that, and you got to buy the license before you even get in line to get the tickets. It's all a racket, but it's all about making money, and that's why gambling is going to be such a big part of sports going forward, and that's why sports teams are open to sponsorships and the gambling part of things, because with salaries going up, cap going up, got to find secondary means of making income for the overall benefit of the organization, so they're doing all of it.
Yeah, and by the way, FanDuel did pay out the $82,000 that was owed to that fan who made
did
the
that.
Yeah, they did pay out the $82,000, and that's the right move. Do it. Did you know that FanDuel was taking wagers like that in New Jersey? I didn't know.
I didn't realize that, but I heard Fred and AJ talking about it, saying that they shouldn't have paid it out.
You write it off as a marketing cost. Everyone talked about it. Everyone knows about it now. And good for you. And I can't imagine locally how much people are talking about it. You pay out. You make good on it. Tough luck. Your computer screwed up, and your agent took the bet. Sucks. It happened. Oh, well. Free marketing.
$82,000,
actually.
That's a hell of a bill for marketing.
Hey, no, that's actually cheap. $82,000 for national coverage? That's cheap.
Oh, you did get a lot of run out of it. There's no doubt about it. Everybody was talking about it.
Yeah, you got a huge run. Everybody knows that now FanDuel takes wagers in Jersey. So good for them.
Nicholas, before we get out of here, plans for the weekend? You guys going to get some towels embroidered before the end of the weekend so you can try and make good on your mailbox?
I'm going to watch the Texans, obviously. Going to just chill, make it a TV-watching sports weekend. That's all I'm going to do. I'm not going to do anything crazy.
If you get a spare chance, Nick, you should go to the men's room with a FedEx box, and you should take a big hairy dump in it, and you should seal it up, tape it up, and put it in Raheel's mailbox, and just hope that it takes a little longer, but that he might decide to pick up and open his mail again real soon.
Nah, I think Raheel got enough heat on the text line of ESPN 97.5. That's good enough for me.
I'm so sorry.
He resembles that remark. I mean, I do feel remorse. But at the same time, you should have seen his face when I first.
I wish I saw it. It probably was
really
pretty funny.
Screwed over.
I missed it.
And I knew I was wrong. Right, I told you immediately. I was like, it was me.
You did.
Well, at first, you just had just a complete freeze frame face, and I'm like, something's not right here. I'm like, you all right, man? You're like, was it a towel? I go, I don't know. I just know that Nick sent out a tweet. And he's hot as all get out because someone took something that wasn't theirs in his mailbox. Next thing you know, I see Raheel texting real quickly. I'm like. Things are starting to come together.
I should have just thrown somebody else under the bus.
Yeah, I was.
But you know
I was
what?
Pretty shocked that you admitted.
Yeah, I should have blamed Dell. AJ's right.
I wouldn't have believed you. I don't think Dell would do something like that. But
yeah,
at the same time, I didn't think you
Dell
would do something like that.
Dell wouldn't do it to you, Nick, but he'd do it to anybody else. Because he doesn't like people.
Yeah, I'll bring it on Monday, Nick. I'm going to use it a few more times now. I'm already in heat for it. I might as well.
You might as well, dude.
Because
they don't want that crap back.
AJ just saw the tweet.
Made for an interesting first two segments of the show based on the fact that Nick was so nice that he didn't believe. He thought we were making it up, that it wasn't actually the case, and that I was in on that we were just giving him a hard time. I'm like, no. Pretty sure that's not the case.
Nick, thank you so much for thinking that highly of me that you thought I was trolling you about it. I appreciate
you play
that.
Pranks like that around the station. I figured you were trolling me.
Wow. He's like, Raheel would never do that. Thank you, man. That made my day.
He made a lot of other people's day who said, yeah, he would, and they were really pissed off at him. So.
I'm so sorry, Nick, and sorry to that guy whose towels they are. I'm so sorry.
Wrapping your grapes up in a cool towel. And now you got to give it back. All right, we appreciate you filling in for Barry. Barry's back on Monday. We are here at Prime Social, 7801 Westheimer on your way home. If you want to beat traffic, get in some good poker games in a great environment, have some fun along the way. Fred and AJ are going to be here till 7 o'clock doing the Blitz. So you can stop by, see them, play some poker, have some fun. Otherwise, y'all have a great weekend, everybody, and we'll talk to you again on Monday.